Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, the history of Israel is steeped in blood. From the conquests to the murders, the blood guilt of the people is great. But more than that, and I think this is a very real sense of it, the entire body of each Israelite was covered in the blood of all the animals that were required to be sacrificed for their sins. But that is how God wanted it. Not the first part, of course, but for the second, to cover over, to atone for the first. This is the primary, the most important way that they knew that God was with them, that he was for them. God is the one who demanded sacrifice, and that God is the one who promised to honor it. Now, with all this blood, it's not because God is just some kind of bloodthirsty monster. Quite the opposite, actually. But he used this to point them to his plan from the beginning, the sacrifice of his beloved son. Every death of an animal, every time a new throat would be broken or split, every time the blood was poured out, every time the people's faces were sprinkled with that warm, sticky blood, it was pointing to the blood of the Son of God poured out for them. You see, sin demands that blood be shed. You remember C.S. Lewis's Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe? Right? I don't know if you read it or saw the movie. Spoiler alert. There's a young man in there who creates kind of a great sin. He sides with the White Witch, the Witch of the Winter, against Aslan and all of his troops. Aslan is the lion. He's kind of the image of Jesus in the whole book. And for doing this, the witch knew exactly what he would be doing. She said that Edmund had to die, which was kind of the shocking moment. In a wonderful picture of what's going on, because he sinned, he should die. Something else had to happen. Aslan offered his life up in place of Edmund's. And so Aslan would die. The idea in this is that sin creates a debt that has to be paid. Because sin is this transgression against God, right? It's like God almost has this big ledger and he judges you according to the law that he's written down. And every time you break one of his laws, he ticks it off. And for every tick that you have on the page, it's a debt that you need to give back to God. But God has a currency. You can't just pay him in dollars. You can't pay him in euros. You can't pay him in fruit. You can't even pay him in animals. You have to pay him in blood. That's God's currency. Now, we know when we commit sin against people too. That's obviously true. But this is about God. This is about the one who created the order of all things. I mean, he's the one who's put me in my place that I might love and serve my neighbor. Right? And when I do something, it's just horrible, really. Maybe we don't think that we're too bad. You know, sometimes it's like a little white lie, right? Right? Sometimes it's a little time that's wasted at work or at home, or sometimes it's something forgotten. But every sin is like going up to this beautifully painted white wall and then coloring on it in Sharpie. Right? This isn't something that can just be erased. You can take your Magic Clean or Mr. Clean magic eraser and try to get those off the wall. Sharpie does not come out. Right? Our sin against God is this way. It can't be just erased, but it can be covered over, atoned for. But like I said, there's a price. And the price is high. Actually, the price to cover over your sin is your life. The scriptures tell us that life is in the blood. Right? That's actually why the Israelites were forbidden from consuming the blood of animals, because it dishonors the life that God has put in them. Because some people kind of start to think, well, if I consume their life force, then I kind of get their strength. We've heard this idea before. And that's why God said, no, don't do this. But the same blood, actually, from these very animals, while they couldn't consume it, would literally cover their skin, and it would cover over their sin. And this shows how great a price it is that when we sin, animals, another part of God's creation, a part that we're supposed to be thankful to God for, even as we, yes, eat them, these animals actually have to give up more than just their flesh, but even their life. When you go into debt with God, when you sin, the only thing that can cover it is blood. We might even call it lifeblood. But now, how can an animal alone cover over all your sins? And how can one animal cover many people? Well, in reality, and in God's word, it says it can't. You can never really have your sins atoned for in this way. It doesn't work. Surely there's going to be something you've forgotten, something that's left uncovered. And besides that, what's required is your blood, not the blood of an animal. But it was never supposed to be the fullness of sacrifice, is it? In fact, God really didn't want these animal sacrifices as any kind of magic. But instead, they pointed towards the coming of the Son of God, the one who would cover over all sins and atone for all people by the shedding of his own life blood. You've marked up the walls, and they can be covered over, but it requires a whole lot of something. A couple of animals aren't going to cover it. It's going to require the death of God himself. Because only the death of God would be big enough to atone for all sins of all time, in all places, for all people. One man can't do this, but God himself could. Here's the problem. God can't die. God is spirit, and you can't kill a spirit. Can't be done. Spirits are, by their very nature, without bodies. And you cannot kill that which does not have a body. It doesn't matter which person of the Trinity that you're talking about. For almost all of history itself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all three were spirit, incorporeal. That means without flesh, without blood, without a body. But it wouldn't always be that way. We find ourselves with Mary this morning, having received this incredible vision from God, an angel of the Lord coming to her in her very own house and delivering amazing news. And she ran off into the hill country to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, who the angel had told Mary was pregnant, even despite Elizabeth's advanced years. This is a wonderful thing. But when Mary got there, it wasn't about Elizabeth. It was about who Mary was carrying in her own womb. The news the angel brought to Mary is that she would be the mother of God himself. How can this be? How can the Son of God be sent to Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit and be conceived in her womb, take on human flesh from Mary herself? I have no idea. But God said that it could. And he said that he would, and so he did. And then Mary carried the body of the Son of God in her own body for 9 months. By the very nature of her humanity, By the fact that she is a woman, she nourished the Lord God himself with her own body, sending him nutrients into the womb, breathing oxygen for him, giving him all that he needed that he might come out of her body, breathe in the air that he created, and live. And in this moment, this conception, the Son of God gave himself a human body for all eternity, binding himself to human flesh for all time. And the only reason for this is to die. He put himself into our flesh, subjected himself to all kinds of sickness and disease and hatred and anger and malice and forgetfulness and sin so that he might die. He needed a body that he could die. And so he created it in Mary. And she is blessed to do this. She is blessed, and we call her blessed even still today. She is the Mother of God. She was chosen out of every woman that had ever existed, did exist, is existing, or will ever exist. She was chosen to be the Mother of God. And we honor her for that. And we don't put her forward as like sinless or that she's got any kind of special power in heaven that others don't. But we honor Mary. We bless her. For she was chosen to bear the Son of God into the world that he might live for us, die for us, be resurrected for us. We honor her because the Lord in this way has done great things in her, for her. Now, can you imagine this kind of pressure that Mary's under? It's hard enough, I think, to be a mom. It has to be near impossible to realize that you're carrying God in your womb. But this was God's plan, always, that he would send his Son, Jesus the Christ, to come into the flesh that he might cover over the sins of the people. We are steeped in blood, just like the Israelites. We have blood on our hands from our own sins. We break each and every commandment. We take the order that God has put into place and we strike out at God, demanding our own way. We take the Sharpies out of the pack and defiantly color on the walls while we look him in the eye. And after all of this, we should die. Our life should be taken from each and every one of us. But in his love for you, God sent his Son into the flesh for you. He came into a body that he might take his blood and paint it on the walls with that instead of your own blood. And after he's finished covering over our sin, he covers us as well. He takes our sins away, in essence, and then gives us a new appearance, a new way of living, of life that mirrors his own. And he does this by covering us in his blood. He pours it over us, making sure it fills every nook and cranny, that we, though our sins have been red like scarlet, might be white as snow. Do you see? By Christ taking on his own body, he covered over our sins, hiding them from the view of God that we might be made right. And then he covers us in the blood of his righteousness in baptism, and he covers us in the blood of his righteousness in his supper. He covers us inside and out that we might continually be covered over, that we might live righteously. See, God never wanted this endless sacrifice of animals, thousands upon thousands of animals, even killed during one year. The bleeding cries of the sheep, the loud moans of the bulls, the sharpened tweets of the doves. He created these beasts to give them life And so they had it. And yet, because of his love for humanity, the life of these animals would be taken to point to something greater. His love for his son being given to us instead, that we might live. We deserve death from God, to have our lives taken away from us. But we're given something greater even than what we have now. We're given something greater than this life we have now. We are, through the death of Christ, through his sacrifice for us, given life eternal. Life which has no end. And through his blood, through his death, through his covering of our sins, we're brought to everlasting life with God, that we might experience his love always. We are covered in his blood, the same blood that grew in him in the womb of Mary. We are covered not with the blood of our guilt, because that's been taken away and it has been put on him. But now we are covered with the blood of the babe, the Son of Mary, Jesus, who is the Son of God. We are covered over in his blood. And thank God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.